welcome to Docupied, a podcast about anime, manga, light novels, and industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as DocPay. Let's get right to the news segment for this episode. Couple updates on delayed things. The first Fate Grand Order anime film has been delayed, while the Violet Evergarden film will now open on September 18th, which was previously delayed. And Healing Good Precure anime series will resume new episodes on the 28th of June. Speaking of Healing Good Precure, that segues into the next little bit of news, and that's Crunchyroll announced its summer 2020 anime lineup, or at least the first part of it. They left a bunch of blank spots, which I'm sure they'll pepper in as we get closer to the season or they finalize details. But of what they've announced so far, they have The God of High School, ReZero Season 2, Rent a Girlfriend, Gibby 8, I'm not sure how to say that one, The Misfit of Demon King Academy, Fire Force Season 2, Mr. Love, Queen's Choice, Healing Good, Pretty Cure, and Sword Art Online, Alicization, War of the Underworld. And like I said, they had a bunch of empty slots for stuff yet to be announced, so I'm sure I'll talk about that again as we get closer to the season. Speaking of Crunchyroll, I had recently discussed how Crunchyroll Expo 2020 was canceled, but they've announced that they're moving it online for September 4th to 6th. So Crunchyroll Expo now joins the growing list of conventions that have moved online, and it seems like each convention that's moving online is going to tackle things a little differently. Some are focusing on musical guests, some are focusing on interview-style panels. I've seen some talk of standard industry panels, and I know Otakon is putting out calls for like fan panelists and things like that. So really, it seems like all these online conventions are going to be doing some pretty varied things. I'll probably check a bunch of them out if they're streamed online for free. And, you know, I'm sure I'll discuss anything that I found interesting from them after they've, you know, been streamed. I don't doubt that, for example, Anime Expo Lite will still have a lot of new announcements, primarily because many companies already plan to do big announcement panels and break their news at Anime Expo, considering the size of the convention. So I'd expect to see, as usual, a bunch of announcements during their stream coming up on the weekend of the 4th. Moving on, Bookwalker will be releasing Why the Hell Are You Here, Teacher? Manga series, which was recently adapted into an anime series. We got news that the Irregular at Magic High School light novel series will be ending in September. I think that series has like 30 plus volumes, and I know we're getting a second season of the anime series soon. It was delayed, but we'll be getting it soon. So maybe if it continues to be popular, we'll get the rest of the novels adapted, but I wouldn't hold out hope for a full adaptation of a light novel series, to be honest. Let's just be glad we get to read the novels in English, so we will eventually get to see the end of this series one way or another. We got a couple new anime announcements, or confirmations for premiere dates. Journal of the Mysterious Creatures will be premiering on July 7th, so that'll be part of the summer season. Tokyo Revengers manga series is getting a TV anime in 2021. My Next Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom, is getting a second season in 2021. So I talked about Bakarina in one of an earlier podcast episodes and explained how much I love that series and how funny it is. I'm really glad that we'll be getting more in anime form. I think they did a great job telling the story from the light novels, even if completely understandably and as usual, the contents are pretty highly condensed for certain parts. I still think they got across the story and the characters really well. And I think the anime knew how to play to the story's strengths and the character's strengths. So I'm excited that we're getting more. Speaking of getting more, Gintama will be getting a new Net anime special in early 2021. and I'm very excited for that. I'm hoping this leads to the final anime season where they adapt the never-ending Gintama manga, which ended and then came back and then ended and then came back and then ended and then came back, I think. Did I get that count right? I don't know, I lost track at some point. It got resurrected so many times in a couple different forms, despite so many "this is the last chapter" announcements. Regardless, more Gintama is always welcome and is one of my favorite series. That's going to wrap me up for the news segment this week, which leads me to the general spoiler warning. You already know what I'm going to be talking about, but as usual, I'm not going to spoil any major plot points or character developments, but I will be talking about things that happen. So without dragging that out, I'm going to be talking about that time I got reincarnated as a slime by Fuse. The light novel is published by Yen Press. There are 8 volumes out as of this week, with the 9th volume due out in October. So I thought this was the perfect chance to talk about one of my favorite isekai light novel series. I will be talking sort of in general about the first 7-ish volumes, but obviously I can't talk about some specific plot things, especially because I would assume that many people maybe have only seen the anime version, which only covers up to volume 4. So I won't get too deep into the stuff that happens past that, but I'd like to think that at least 1 to 4 are fairly fair game. Sadly though, my copy of volume 8 hasn't arrived yet. I pre-ordered it on Right Stuff, and I guess I'm still waiting for them to toss me a partial shipment, because I have a couple things that should be arriving, so I was hoping I'd get a shipment, but still waiting. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It gives me time to read other stuff, because I know that as soon as I get that volume, I will absolutely be jumping in and reading the whole thing. So, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. You may be familiar with the anime series, the 24 episodes and 5 OVAs that it has by now, and the story covers through volume 4 of the light novel. So obviously this recommendation and discussion is for the light novel, but I feel like I need to talk about the anime to put that in context, especially because, again, more people have probably watched the anime than ever went back and read the novels, or maybe read the manga. I have not read the manga personally. That's because I prefer reading the original source material for a series, and that definitely doesn't count the web novel, which I know is the technical original, but we only get the light novel officially published in English, and I think between the different versions, the light novel is the most complete, because they take the web novel, update it, add story, refine it for the light novel release, and then the manga adapts that, and then the anime adapts a combination of those. In the case of this series, they largely based the anime version on the manga, at least for the early parts. A lot of the direction choices and character designs and things like that were more influenced by the manga, from what it seems. But I went to a couple panels at Otakon with staff from the series, you know, for example, the character designer, who discussed that he actually tried to blend the art styles of both the light novel and the manga to put that into the anime. But definitely the manga was, I think, a larger source. Now, I don't think that'll hold up for... Now, I don't necessarily think that that'll be true for season 2, especially because I don't think the manga story has gotten to the part that the anime will now be adapting, but I'm not entirely sure. Like I said, I haven't actually read the manga. Anyway, I don't want to get too bogged down here. Back to the point of the anime. I enjoyed the anime series, especially the first half. I felt like they did a good job pulling in what made the light novel interesting and fun, bringing the characters to life. I really enjoyed the first half. The second half, as someone who read the light novels, was particularly frustrating for me. And I know I give a lot of slack to adaptations for their choice to condense or cut or alter material from their sources, and especially if that source is a light novel with a lot of dense, you know, world building or dialogue or narration, internal monologuing, all these things that just don't suit well to an anime. However, there's definitely such a thing as too condensed, and I feel like the second half of the anime series fell in that category. They skipped over entire arcs. There were characters cut out in those arcs, things we learn. They condensed pretty much everything that happened in Rimuru's travels to the city, and really just sprinted, bounded, and leaped to try to make it to a specific point in the novels at the end of the season. I get why it happened. It was just quite frustrating each episode watching and just seeing how much they left out, especially things that are somewhat important to later plot developments, things that they skipped, like I said, in favor of making it there, and then the fact that the anime series ended before it actually got to that pivotal scene at the end of the season that we all thought it was going to get to. It just didn't. It teased it in the opening and in the ending song. It just didn't. It just stopped, which is fascinating choice. I assume they wanted to end on a not cliffhanger, just in case they didn't get renewed or something. I'm not sure. Because the light novel series at the end of volume 4 definitely ends with that big cliffhanger. So my kind of main point is that from the light novel, volume 4 is mostly skipped over and highly condensed for the things that weren't, like saving the kids and meeting Ramirez and going to the labyrinth or summoning Beretta. Like I said, there's an entire section chopped out of Rimuru's travels, as well as all the trade stuff between the Beast Kingdom and Dorgon. So anyway, I don't want to harp too much on the anime, because again, this is a discussion of the light novel series. So I'll put a pin in that, and we'll get to talking about what I like about the light novels. I said this was one of my favorite isekai series, and I could probably just expand that to it's one of my favorite light novel series, and there's a couple primary reasons for me. One of them is that this series is kind of like Civilization, if you've ever played the game. And I love city builders. I love reading about all the politics of stuff. And maybe you've noticed that from the series I've chosen to discuss so far. But I am a big fan of people building up a nation. I suppose it's more apt to say that I like to read about adults doing adult things, almost kind of no matter what that is. In many of these isekai series, it does end up meaning politics, war, statecraft, nation building, things like that, because that's the scale that they operate on. Not always, but I like getting away from the kids and high schoolers going in and being magically overpowered and saving the world from something. Not my bag anymore. Slime is a series that really hits that vein, hits that niche of storytelling that works so well for me. There are some gamey RPG kind of elements with the skills and abilities and things like that, but that never bothered me, and I think Slime does it pretty well, especially the light novels, where it seems more like a fun aspect of it, where Rimuru is constantly testing new abilities and combining stuff and learning new things, and eventually that actually becomes somewhat of a major plot point with his skills, in particular with the Great Sage. Again, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but I actually really like that the Great Sage is so important and impactful, even early on, to Rimuru, and becomes even more so later on, is all I'll say about that. But suffice it to say, there is good justification for and use of these like game-like skills and things that they use in the series. So like I said, I don't mind when it's used like that. It's actually kind of fun. There are occasional pages where you're just looking at like skill upgrades and skill sheets and stuff like that in the light novel. So if that's not your thing, if you're really against seeing kind of game-like stuff, then it's definitely there. So this series is really exciting for me because plot-wise, Rimuru jumps out of this cave with nothing, and then he goes on to build a nation. Well, it starts off with a village, which turns into a city, which expands and expands and expands as the story goes on, and eventually becomes a proper nation. And I dig that. Some of the later volumes can get bogged down in meetings. It's just kind of how it goes. Sometimes they have like a meeting and then do a thing and they come back and have a meeting. And so there's lots of like discussion about stuff in meetings. And that can kind of slow the plot down a little bit when it does happen. I don't mind it. And it kind of can get a little funny that they have so many meetings. But there's plenty of development between that. One aspect of the plot that I've discussed in other series before is the use of the isekai format. So in a lot of isekai series, I don't think the fact that the character came from another world is at all important to the plot. There are so many of them that I constantly wonder, why wasn't this just a fantasy series? And the obvious answer is marketing. And so they threw in a first chapter where some person or some kid or whatever gets reincarnated or teleported or whatever into some new world, and then they continue with their standard fantasy plot point and then throw in the occasional reference to our world or media from our world just to be tongue-in-cheek about it. I don't know. But there are so many where it's inconsequential to the plot that the character is from our world. And I really don't like that. Oftentimes, I always wish they were just pure fantasy, and then I don't have to worry about the nonsense gimmicks that they set up to make it an isekai. But Slime, on the other hand, I think makes pretty good use of the fact that Rimuru was actually reincarnated. A lot of the things he does and the things that happen are because Rimuru is the way he is. He is a former human, and that informs a good amount of his choices. He also uses his knowledge quite extensively to help build out their nation of Tempest, or when he's, you know, leading the different monsters, he uses techniques he learned as a boss in a company, or, well, I guess he wasn't a boss, but as an older employee that sometimes mentored younger ones. But yeah, the point being that it is an actual plot point that continues to be relevant even later on in the story, that Rimuru himself comes from our world, comes from a different place. And I appreciate that. It really just grinds my gears when a series that should just be pure fantasy shoehorns in some isekai nonsense. One of the other things I really like about this series are the characters. So I dig the world building, I dig the nation building, I dig all of the background stuff that they've built into this world and the history of it, the conflicts, and then we bring in the characters. Early on, most of the characters and a lot of the point of the characters is that they love Rimuru, and that continues kind of forever, but I really like that they grow into that in different ways. Rimuru really helps them come into their own as characters in a lot of ways, or they'll fawn over him, and they definitely still continue to, but he likes to encourage them to do things on their own, to make decisions of their own, to think on their own, and not rely on him to make decisions and do things. And while that is both a story and a narrative device, I think it works pretty well. So both narratively, you get a lot of the characters growing because Rimuru is forcing them to think on their own and make decisions and not rely on him as their leader. Rimuru, on the other hand, does that because he doesn't want to have to be in charge of things and delegate everything because it's too much work. I think Rimuru is a very strong main character. He's funny, he's principled, but in a way that's very adult. He was an adult in the original world, and so he has a very adult perspective on things, which I appreciate. Not everything to him is black or white. He starts off with a more mature view of the world, and that continues in the decisions he makes. He's not a bad slime, but he is a slime that knows how to make hard decisions if he has to. Now, you don't really see that in the anime series, and the volumes post-anime series is where you see that more, in particular 5 through 7 so far. But again, I won't get too deep at all into what actually happens. Things in those volumes can definitely get a little more serious than you might expect from the light-hearted, fun, easygoing series that Slime was in the anime and that was through volumes 1 to 4. There's still plenty of nonsense, comedy, fun parties, and just really great gags and stuff like that that occur, but they started mixing in more serious plot developments and plot lines, which I actually really appreciate. It's not a shift, it's more of just they have some more serious content between all the fun, lighthearted stuff. This novel series has caused me to break out in laughter so many times, multiple times a volume. I'm cracking up over something that someone did, usually Gobta doing something ridiculous. He's my favorite character, probably. But Rimuru's inner thoughts are always pretty funny as well. His reactions and the way he tries to pawn off work. Oh, that's a really great running gag. Right, back to the characters. Duh. The cast of characters is quite large. You might actually be hard-pressed to remember all of the different characters from the different factions, and especially as the novel series goes on and they introduce people from different nations, different countries, different kingdoms, and the conflict grows, and then you have the demon lords, and you have all their underlings, and there's a lot. There are a lot of characters. The series does what it can to pare them down in any given situation, so you only have to remember the ones that are relevant for that particular arc. They'll send other main characters off to do other things in other places and then cover that separately so you can follow them without being bogged down too much. So I think it handles its large cast quite well. Everyone they introduce seems to get a pretty good amount of development, and I do really appreciate that all the characters seem to at least have or start developing a degree of agency as characters about what they want and what their motives are. The English translation definitely has solid character voices. You can almost always tell who is talking based on the way they talk or the things they say. It's usually pretty clear. Some of the larger meetings where they have people talking one after another can get a little confusing, but generally speaking, especially because I feel like the characters all have pretty different personalities, that you can definitely pick up on, like, ah, that was, you know, so-and-so, or ah, that was Shion being an idiot, or ah, that was Rimuru because you can tell he's reacting or commenting to something ridiculous they just suggested, or, you know, that kind of thing. You can kind of pick up on it. The writing is breezy. I never felt like the series dragged. I get through a volume in a night, and it's a great night when I do. And funny enough, I've actually been reading the series since it was released, from volume 1 in English. I've been buying them and reading them as they come out. I took a stab in the dark. I had no idea what it was when it came out initially. I'd heard that it was a thing based on a web novel. I knew that, but I didn't know much about the story or anything at all. And so I looked at the cover and it looked interesting, the synopsis. I bought the first volume from Yen Press and I loved it. And then I couldn't wait for more. And so as each volume comes out, I get it and I read it that day, essentially. Or at least I start reading it that day. The volumes aren't too long in page count, and they're easy to get through. They're very funny for a series that is kind of an isekai, somewhat action-y. It's not action-y, that's really... There are some fights and some that are definitely pretty important, so there is some of that action combat of the isekai, especially because, like I said, they have game-like skills and stuff, but the slice-of-life comedy portions are equally important and are great. I really enjoy reading those sections of Rimuru just taking it easy, having fun with his friends. And then that also helps me appreciate the serious segments, the plot developments that start to occur in the later volumes after the anime, where things aren't necessarily all happy hunky-dory because, you know, some stuff happens. But I appreciate those more because of how funny and peaceful and good all the other stuff is. They do a good job building up to and leading into some of the more serious moments, and then I like when they're coming down off those and they give you more lighter stuff to palate cleanse. I think about one of the few criticisms you might have of the series is that many of the characters end up being quite sympathetic, even the enemies. The series does have a tendency to redeem its enemies in various ways, especially early on, where they all seem to have their own motivations, and it turns out they're not bad, or the people that are trying to do something or whatever with Rimuru aren't actually bad people, and he forgives them, and they become friends, and that happens quite a few times early on. But I can definitely confirm that that is not always going to be true. There are some characters that are just not ever going to get redemption in that way. Again, I won't spoil specifically what happens in volumes 6 and 7, but suffice it to say that the series establishes some enemy characters that are not going to go through that cycle. They do things and things happen that our main characters, and especially Rimuru, will and did not tolerate. So while that may be a fair criticism of some of the early plots and arcs, where, like I said, many of the enemies end up being redeemed and becoming friends and this and that, I can assure you that is not always going to be the case. And so I think it becomes even more impactful where, after all these cases of Rimuru learns of their circumstances and helps them out and helps them out of it and ends up befriending them, it leads impact to the times where that definitely does not happen. You feel it even more. And one good incentive for reading past the anime series, and while I say that, I definitely think if you watch the anime series, you should absolutely start from volume 1 and read the light novels from the beginning. There's so much content that was condensed or cut, even in those early volumes, that I still think that the anime did well. There's so much content there and so much world building that you don't get in the anime that it's absolutely worth starting from the beginning. And again, you might think that I was gonna say that, and I absolutely was gonna say that, and I will probably always say that, but it's especially true for this series. But some incentive to jump in before the second season and read what's available in English so far is that some really great characters get introduced in those later volumes, like Diablo. They threw him in and gave him a little bit of an introduction in one of the early OVA episodes as Black or Kudo. But he becomes a prominent character, and I think is always pretty amusing and a welcome addition to the cast. Oh, and I guess the elephant in the room for the series is Valdora, isn't it? He makes quite an impression in the early anime episodes, and he does as well in the first volume of the novel. And the light novel series actually touches on him a couple times, kind of reminds you that he exists and is a thing, whereas the anime series kind of lets him fall to the wayside for pretty much the rest of the story. You could be forgiven for, even in the light novel, for kind of forgetting that he was a plot point. I'm happy to confirm that he does make a return, and it's worth it. And again, I won't spoil anything about how that comes about, but he also makes a great addition to the cast, because I think he adds something that the cast doesn't really have up to that point, which is someone kind of clearly superior to everyone, and especially Rimuru, but is still, like, super close friends with him. Well, I guess you have Mirim, and I guess she is similar, but it's not quite the same. Well, you know what, actually, can all consider they fill somewhat similar roles at the end of the day. Well, either way, I think both of them are funny, and I enjoy their additions to the plot and the cast. So yeah, Veldora. He is a thing, and he comes back, and it's funny, and it's worth it. A couple other things of note for the light novel is they have several chapters that are told from different perspectives than Rimuru. I forgot to kind of clarify this, but obviously Rimuru is the point of view for most of the story, and he also does a lot of the narration himself. So most of the books are written through Rimuru's eyes, his lens, his viewpoint, but there are chapters that they break from that. And you saw it a little bit in the anime as well, where they go and deal with some Demon Lord stuff. But I always appreciate when stories are able to pull away from their main characters and main cast and continue to be interesting still. So I enjoy those additional POV chapters, especially when they use it to flesh out the plot and different characters and, like, other sides of what's going on in the story. I also think through Volume 7 is quite a satisfying, like, story arc. What begins at the end of Volume 4 and then caps off in Volume 7, which are kind of the more serious volumes, I think they do a really good job of nailing the serious moments, and I'm looking forward to my copy of Volume 8 arriving so I can jump into what I think is more slice of life comedy fun and fluff. And so I like that they took a couple volumes, really dug into some more serious aspects of the world that were always there and always part of the story, but had never really touched Rimuru himself and the main cast after their encounters with Rimuru. So I'm really looking forward to digging into Volume 8. And as you might be suspecting by this point, that's almost the entire reason I wanted to talk about this series right now, is because I really just want to read Volume 8, and I'm hoping this somehow convinces the universe to ship it sooner, or write stuff, whoever makes those decisions. Anyway, I think I've rambled on long enough about this series. It is a fun slice of life comedy nation-building isekai series with some cool, decent action and, like, combat stuff. So it really has a lot. It's quite multifaceted, and I think it's well-written. So that's one of my favorite light novel series. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime by Fuse, published in English by Yen Press, with 8 volumes currently published. The 9th is due out in October. And the second season of the anime series, along with the spin-off season, I think are due in 2021. Look forward to those. And again, if you watched the anime and liked it, highly recommend you go and read the novels. If you haven't watched the anime, I mean, check it out, but definitely read the novels. I think for me personally, and while this might be true for most things, I do think I enjoy the light novels the most. They really build the world out the best, flesh the characters out, and allow things to breathe. That's going to do me for this episode, so thanks for listening. Follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates. If you like DocuPy, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Let me know what you think about the series. I'll catch you next time.